One of the Hebrew words for wilderness in Scripture literally means the wordless place, the place with no words. That piece of biblical trivia captivated me this past week as I pondered once more the meaning of Jesus' time in the wilderness, the story we hear every year on this first Sunday in Lent. Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels all share their version of the story, words spoken into our midst each year as we begin our journey to the desolate place of crucified hopes, while trusting that the cross is not the final word. Wilderness experiences, as you well know, are a part of life. Whether they are 40 years long for the ancient Israelites or 40 days of spiritual quarantine for a famished Jesus, or 40 hours or 40 minutes or 40 seconds, 40 is just the Bible's way of saying a long time. The fullness of spiritual time it takes for whatever meaning to become audible to our parched souls. I've always pictured this wilderness setting with Jesus and his temptations to be that scruff of Middle Eastern desert, reddish rocky crags broken open from the sandstone mountains that stand silent watch over the stretch of road of rugged land between Jericho and Jerusalem. We believe that's where Jesus had his experience. The soil there is granular, gritty, sediment scoured loose by the centuries of rainstorms and the relentless wind, the sort of dust that cakes on the sweaty brow and works into the fabric of clothing and coats the nostrils with a dry, irritating residue. But hold all of that for a moment, and the image of wilderness as the wordless place brought me closer to home this week to conjure another wilderness, the Ho Rainforest, 3 hours west of here. I suspect many of you have been there. The wilderness where Emmy Award-winning acoustic ecologist Gordon Hempton famously recorded his 1 square inch of silence, a place where no human development has invaded, and where, when no planes fly overhead, there is nothing but nature to speak into the vacuum of human noise, the noise that is the constant companion for most of us in our lives. The Ho Forest is unique as a wilderness, the largest swath of virgin temperate rainforest in the entire northern hemisphere, a gorge formed from one of the 11 rivers radiating from the Olympics, the peaks above in its mythic trek to the sea. The mountains curtail storms blowing on shore, prompting them to drop and dump their wet clouds into the forest that has staked its claim there, hence the term rainforest. Lichens form scruffy grinch beards on soaring Douglas firs and more modest big leaf maples. The air is damp and heavy, hushing sounds that would elsewhere become long-distance travelers. Ferns and fungi liberate their spores by the quadrillions in a prehistoric dance that will feast on whatever has died on the forest floor as nutrient hope for the next generation. What you should hear in all of this is, friends, the ecosystem is doing its wild thing with fecund abandon. And humans are interlopers. So if one wanders into that wilderness, or any wilderness, we will gain a sense of the silence, of the wordlessness of spiritual invitation to wrestle and wring meaning from the experience, and from the whole of life colored by it. Hempton said, we are evolved to listen to our surroundings, but the modern world has turned up the volume too loud and too long for most of us to pay attention. We may think we've acclimated to the sound, but the science says otherwise. Stress hormones surge in the bloodstream amidst the din of modernity. Hempton says noise pollution has been shown to shorten our lives. He said it's the new secondhand smoke. And there is an image for us. The new secondhand smoke noise is. I would suggest it's also not just a biological statement, but one with spiritual implications. And here on this first Sunday in Lent, when we are invited to step to the fringes of Jesus' wilderness experience and just listen in, we are also invited to consider the wilderness experiences of our own lives and what they may have to say to us as we make our way. What gets spoken and written on the hearts, on our hearts, may not come in the form of words as we know them. The language of the Spirit is much more nuanced, even subliminal, which is to say, crossing the threshold of new spiritual wisdom may require more than words. It may require more time, more intention, more contemplative silence, more wordless space, more space with fewer attachments that distract us for the meaning to surface. This is the invitation we receive each year in the observance of a Holy Lent, to acknowledge that wilderness experiences, yes, they are scary. They are disorienting, even destabilizing of the old order. The wilderness in some way invites us to die to the old order. And that's hard. But these experiences can also be the place of spiritual breakthrough, of new insights and discerned meaning. And the scriptures remind us again today that we do not enter such wilderness places alone, even if it feels like that at times. God's Spirit is there with us always, sitting Shiva with us for as long as it takes for us to make sense of things, present for the fullness of time it took for the Israelites to find their way home, for the length of time it took Jesus to address his temptations and to work out his messianic identity, for the length of time it takes us to ponder what it means to follow Christ in this cacophonous world. The tradition of giving something up in Lent is rooted in this deeper ravine of wilderness experience. It is a place of Lenten fasting and prayer, if you will. So if we're really honest, Lent, this wilderness time, is not just about giving up something, you fill in the blank, giving up chocolate for a few weeks. That is to point to something deeper. No, this is the place, this wilderness experience is the place where wild things are, and we instinctively know it. Where the sheer dimensions of wilderness demand our concession that we are not in control, where the feeling of desolation may at times give us the yips. This Lenten journey is hard. It's a lot. But the Spirit of God is present there with you and me always. That's the testimonial of the scriptures again this morning. And we have the grace of God and the living bread as sustenance. We have the creedal promises of the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins. And we hold fast to the hope that this wilderness is not the end of the story. Not by a long shot. It is a throughway into something new and infinitely more than we can describe in words on this side of the grave, on this side of the cross, on this side of the empty tomb of Easter.